it accomplishes what it was sent out to do. Many people are sending people to do things. Many are people are calling people, even to be pastors, to be teachers, just for positions, whatever it is. But we need to be led of the Lord, and He will lead and guide you on what you are to do. But I heard these words, and it was arise and go. Where are we going to go? Are you ready? Ready to go? Are you ready for service, lowly or great? Why will you be preaching? Will you be preaching to please people? Always remember, if you're preaching to please people, that's what the law always did. They want to please the people. And it's like it puts a show onto them, and we want it to be, He is to be the center of all things. My brother called me from prison, and I was so thankful because the Holy Spirit, I think we had just talked about this, and he said, I said, Dennis, I always think of you because you're in prison, and his favorite song has been, from prison bars I've flown, I'll fly away. And I go, you may be in prison, but let me tell you, there are people outside those bars that are just as much in prison as you are. Because they're not accepting their liberty that they have in Christ and the freedom that he's given us that we can enjoy. There are those who are in prison for Christ's sake. You know, you're going to suffer when you give out God's word. And we must be willing to go the way he's called us to do. Well, I was thinking of, or what he laid on my heart, was arise and go. First, I want you to go to Jonah. And there's so much meaning in here about Israel and Christ, but we're not going to bring too much of, you know, a lot of this out. But I do want you to see now in verse 1, now it was the word of the Lord, okay, get it, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Jonah's name means dove, peace. What about the God of peace? The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. And that means my faithfulness, God himself. I think I said this last week, but God's had it on my heart. I don't care what anybody goes through today, tomorrow, 2 years, whatever it is, whatever we go through. The hotter the fire, the hotter the valley, the deeper it is. Remember, it's not yours to handle. God is going to give you sufficient grace to see you through this. All these things are ordered of God. Even when the devil tries to do things, we need to remember he can't do anything to us unless God permits it. So that's the thing. Remember, I am the Lord your God, and he's our Father. He's not going to let anything happen to you that he does not allow. He's allowing it because God has purposes so far greater. And I'm not saying that God brings the temptation. He's allowing it because God sees something greater for you than being tempted. Here's what he says to Jonah. Arise. First thing, arise and go. Go to Nineveh. This was a city against Israel. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and I want you to cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Does God see what's happening to Israel right now? Yes. Why is he allowing these things? What is going on? It's like because Israel, he's bringing them to the place to know him as their personal savior. They're going to learn that salvation and to be saved is of the Lord. Even as all these things are being destroyed, it's not those things. Our salvation was with the blood, and it was with the precious blood of the Lamb. It was not corruptible things that are saving us. And he said, you go and you cry against it. Their wickedness has come before me. Go and preach to them. Jonah, he rose up. He did that part. He rose up, but he rose up to flee. If you're going to flee from what God has called you to do, it's easy to say, well, maybe I'll just make excuses. I can't do that. There's no way. I'm telling you, there's coming. It's a day to day, but it's getting harder. You're going to have to be willing to rise up in the new man and preach the word of God. Because all these things, we look at everything right now and we go, oh, homosexuality. And I thought, oh boy, this is it. Jesus got to come. When kids are calling themselves a cat and the people in schools are allowing them to do it and have kitty litter boxes for them. I mean, this is getting way out of hand. But I choose to get my eyes on things above. Look at the one who truly can handle this. We're not the ones who can change it. I'm not. I can't change these things, but we can preach the word of the Lord. Jonah rose up, but he rose up to flee into Tarshish. And when he rose there to this city, he's going to Tarshish. Why? Because he doesn't want to go. He does not want to go to Nineveh. First of all, if God calls you to do something, you just show up. You don't have to do it. He's going to give you the words to speak. He's going to give you the grace to see you through it. He enables us. Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish, and look what it is, from the presence of the Lord. When you don't go God's way, God's will for your life, you're going against what he said. Has Israel gone in the way the Lord has called them? No. And they still do. That's why we need to pray for them. Because they need to see that salvation is of the Lord. They need to see that the route and the places they're going and what they're doing, they're caught up right in the center of all these nations rising up against them. And he said, he rose up from the presence of the Lord and he went down to Joppa. And we know that Jesus did the same. He came down from being with his Father. He was willing to come in the likeness of man and take that place for Israel and for us. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. Who paid the fare? Jonah did. You see, when we go God's way, he pays the fare. Jesus paid the price for every one of us. We didn't have to pay that price. Just come the way that I've called you. He paid the fare thereof, and where did he go? He went down into it. To go with them unto Tarshish, and it's again from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord... And I love this because go in and read all the stories about in the midst of the sea and how it was calm. And then all of a sudden the sea rose up and the waves. And that's when people get what? Fearful. This ship is going to fall apart. Now what do we do? I get to see them on the ship just running around and going, what are we going to do? The ship's being battered. It's going to fall. It's going to tear apart. We're all going to die on this ship. But the Lord sent. It was God who's in control of the sea. God's in control of these nations. God is in control. People say he isn't in control. God is allowing it for a purpose. God is allowing it for a purpose. And he said, the great wind into the sea. The winds and the waves obey his voice. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. It was in danger of being shipwrecked. Then the mariners, okay? The mariner, you think, now Moses, I mean, no, Jonah got on here to pay the fare with them, but you don't see them talking about him right now. The tempest is raging, okay? The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and the mighty tempest in the sea. The ship was like to be broken. The mariners were afraid. And they cried every man to his God. Whatever gods there were, You think of it. I'm even thinking of how the tempests and all these things are coming against Israel. You think of all the religions today and what they'll do to you if you don't come by the way of religion and the way they say. You talk about homosexuality, they'll kill you right on the spot. You'll be dead. All they talk about is death. And that is what the law, when man tried to keep the law, he couldn't do it. And God allowed it. But they called unto his God. Who knows what it was? People are calling to Mary. People are calling on Peter. People are calling on a priest. They call on their gods, and here's what else they do. Works. If a tempest, we got to find a way to save ourselves. They sent forth the wares that were in the ship. They get them out. They throw them into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah, where was Jonah? He was asleep. He was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he's fast asleep. Is Israel awake? Awake. It is high time to wake up out of sleep. But Jesus is down there. It's a typical of Christ. He's in the bottom, in that ship, but he is there for a purpose. And so were they. He's down in the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. The shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" They're all up there working. They're all trying to do it. They're all doing this. And it reminds me of Jesus when Mary, Elizabeth came and said, "Why don't you make her do something? She's making us do it all." Well, first of all, when you do that, you've got a working attitude. You're thinking that you have to do it all and you're not, this person's not helping me. No, you have to do it in the spirit of meekness. You do it because he's called you to do it. He'll enable you. I always think of George. He called him to do the dishes. He called him to do the dishes. How many are willing to say, "I'll do it every Sunday. I'll go do the dishes"? It's because his burden is light. It's not a burden to him. It's light. And that's not to put him on a pedestal. That's saying that's where he's been called to do, and that's what he's going to do. And the thing is, I heard someone say this yesterday, if we all had a picnic lunch, and you talk about no useless members, if we all had a lunch and everybody brought bread, what kind of lunch would that be? What if everybody brought green beans and nobody brought anything else? You take every part of the members of the body and you put it together. Do what he's called you to do. You bring it and put it all together, and it's perfectly done. Why? Because they were led of the Spirit, not of man. They're led of the Spirit. So here's Jonah. He's still down here. He's sleeping. All the people up there, they're casting lots that they will know why this has come upon them. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, "Tell us. We beg you, tell us. We're asking you. For whose cause is this evil upon us? What is your occupation? And where comest thou? And what is your country? And what people are you?" When I see this typical of Christ, who are you? Who are you? You see, when he started, he came in triumphantly. He was coming in. Oh, they're saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and they're praising. They really liked Jesus then. But I tell you, when you get into the fullness of your ministry and what you were called to do, he suffered. Obedience. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered. We see in Romans chapter 6, it says, "To whom you yield your, whoever you are yielding your members to, His servant are you. You're the one. You're making the decision. People say we don't. You do. We have a choice. If I yield my members to anger or any of these things of the flesh, we don't have to. Christ in me, the hope of glory. We must become humble and call on him. He'll give you the grace. And I want to keep going on this because he said in verse 11, then said they unto him, what are we to do? Here's those words again, and it's all through this lesson. What should we do unto thee, that the sea may be a calm unto us? You see, the troubled are like the wicked sea, the mire and the dirt and everything talking about. Well, when you take Jonah and you cast him forth, and he says unto us, the sea rot was tempestuous, and he said, you take me up. You cast me forth into the sea. You do that, and your sea will be a calm. For I know that for my sake this great tempest has come upon you. Even as we take in God's word and we put him forth, you come around law keepers, come around people who still believe in the law to keep them holy, and you begin to rise up and just preach the word, not you're legal. I used to hate that because no one would tell me what that is. And sometimes they're thinking you're legal because they do what people do. If you see somebody with tattoos and piercings, first thing that comes to your mind is, boy, are they a worldly person. They may have a greater heart than you do. You are looking at the outer man, and God is looking at the inner. It is God's responsibility to change them. He said, cast me forth. And I was thinking of the laver, how we wash and cleanse ourselves daily. There's a growing that needs to take place. And after I got out of class, I heard, by the power of the Holy Spirit, what is baptism, Penny? And I go, well, it's an outward showing of an inward work. That's right, it is. You ready to go deeper with that? When you go down in death with me and you come up in Christ with me, you went down in death. Jesus said, I'm going to go down in death first. And I'm going to come up. Now you're going to say, I died with him. I was buried with him. I came up in the newness of life. What rank will you be in? What degree do you know him? This is a new life. Old things are going to pass away, and all things are going to become new. How much do I know him? In what degree? How much fruit will be in our lives? If we follow with the word of God and continue in faith and believe what he has done, there's going to be 30, there's going to be 60, and there's going to be 100-fold. When that thief was on the cross and he was up there with Jesus, he did not have time. We all say he didn't have time to be baptized, okay? But he did have time to show an outward sign of an inward work. He has done nothing. We have done wrong. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But how will you know him? What is your outward showing of an inward work? What has the Lord whispered to your heart? You see, nobody knows what he's told you, but it's time that you take a stand and what he's led you to say, do, walk, whatever it is. We are to do it heartily as unto him. Because if I seek to please men, that is law. We seek to please our Lord by faith. By faith, this is my beloved son. This is whom I'm well pleased. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be pleasing unto God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, we all know that Jonah, if you go on through the story, he was cast into the fish, big belly. He's in there for 3 days and three nights. Speaks of resurrection. He came out on dry ground, and his words were, "Salvation is of the Lord. I told him to throw me in. I knew what was needed. I was willing to take that place. Israel will come to the place that they see salvation is of the Lord. They will cry out to him." Then you go to Saul of Tarsus, and you look at chapter 9. Saul was breathing out threatenings, slaughter against disciples, went into the high priest. Now think of everything it just said, because that's where we have to get this, because at this time, he's a lawkeeper. He is going out and he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter, murder against Christians, against the disciples of the Lord. And he even went to the high priest. Who's our high priest? We go to God. We enter into the holiest of holies. He gets those letters because he wants to bring them what? Bound to Jerusalem. When Paul is changed, there's going to be an outward showing of an inward work. He's setting the captive free now. He's opening blind eyes. Liberty. He's showing them the liberty through what God revealed to him. He's giving them the truth. But God had to reveal truth to him. And then he got it in him. He put it in him. And then he's going to give it through him. That is the process of what God does. When people get baptized, it makes me sad that they don't even know what it means. They don't even know. They just go down a center, up a center. They don't have no idea that Christ got baptized, why he got baptized, why we get baptized. And it's not just now I'm a new man. There is, he called me. He justified me. He sanctified me. He's glorifying me. But it's all because of who? Jesus. Everything I could not do, he made a way that I could. But I must arise and I must go. Well, Saul did this. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. What a low place, back in the dust. He heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul probably thought, "Well, how do I do that? I've been doing this to Christians, not you." And he said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He calls him Lord. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And I'm telling you, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Stop trying to kick against it. And he, trembling and astonished, said, notice again, "What will thou have me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "This is what you're going to do. You're going to rise up and go." How many times have you heard that? Arise and go. He tells you exactly where to go. He told him, "Go into the city." And did he just overlook the words that was said of Paul? what must I do? And it shall be told thee what thou must do. There's a must. The men that were journeying with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Saul arose up from the earth. So he rose up. When his eyes were open, he couldn't see any man. But though they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus, he was there 3 days without sight. 3 days speaks of resurrection and life. Neither did he eat, nor did he drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus, and this is the other name the Lord gave me, Ananias. Ananias, you have part in this ministry too. And he said to him, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, I want you to arise and I want you to go. Where's he going to go? Exactly where the Lord tells him to go. I want you to go into the street, which is called Straight. I want you to inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He's hearing his prayer. He's praying. And hath seen in a vision. Now notice this. When you get there, Ananias is going to know I sent you. He's already seen it in a vision. He said, he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he could receive his sight. And Ananias answers the Lord. He's not going to talk about where he's supposed to go and what he's supposed to do. He's going to say this first. The doubts, the worry. I've heard by many of this man. Do you realize who you're sending me to? How much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem? And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. And you want me to go to him and lay hands on him? Because if you do, it's going to be in his name. You're baptized in the name of Jesus. But the Lord said to him, go your way. He is a chosen vessel unto me. Why are you saying he's a chosen vessel? He was persecuting Christians. And he said, go. He's a chosen vessel unto me. Remember, we're chosen in Christ. In Christ. Unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. I will show him. Oh, he's not just going to hear what I'm going to have him do, that he must do. I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see, we are heirs of God, but you are a joint heir with Christ, if so be that you suffer. Ananias, let's see, did he listen? Did he go in the way he was called to go? Ananias went his way. He entered into the house. And here he goes. He's putting his hands on him. Identification. He laid his hands on him. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way as thou camest. He's the same Lord. Now he has sent me. He's appeared unto you in the way you came. Now he sent me. And the reason he sent me was for this purpose, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately, we just do what God calls us to do. It says immediately. The Lord sent him for a purpose. Immediately there fell from his eyes that were, as it were, scales. He received sight forthwith, and he arose, and he was baptized. When he had received meat, look what happens. Remember, he hadn't ate or drank. When he received meat, he got strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And you know what? Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. All that heard him, they're not hearing what he thinks. They're hearing, he has given me revelation. I have his thoughts. They were amazed. Is not this he that destroyed them that called on the name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he would bind them? He came to the chief priest, and Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that it was the very Christ that had sent him. When you go in the scripture, it says that God, when it pleased God, he separated me from my mother's womb. Israel. He separated me, one born out of due time, early. He called me by his grace. The reason he called me by his grace was to reveal something to me. Paul said, you know, I don't want you worshiping me. I want you to know what he's revealed to me. He's going to reveal it to you. He's giving it to you, partaker of his grace. He did it to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Preach Jesus. He's their hope. He's their peace. He's everything there is. And I look at this outward showing of an inward work, that sanctification. Yes, we were sanctified. But we have to remember, everything is provisional. And I know I say this all the time, but it's like God makes it so much more real. It's called practical righteousness. Walking in truth, talking about truth, yielding. There were those who, I read this somewhere, I looked it up in Strong's Concordance, and it was talking about when a man deserts when he's in the service, bad things happen. And when people in upper authority did stop, they were put to death. And it's like, deserting Christ, walking away from this truth. And he says in, I believe it's Galatians 1. Yeah. Right here. It says in Galatians 1, I marvel. People were coming into this time. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into this grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that are troubling you, that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, notice he says, even if it's me, even though we, or any angel, any messenger from heaven, if they preach to you any other gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If they preach something else, let them be accursed. And that was the word I looked up. It was desertion from the military. We're soldiers for Jesus Christ. And as we said before, so I now say it again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. When Paul or Saul was under the law, he pleased man and he had a big name for himself. But when you are preaching or teaching or walking in this world, let everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. Don't seek to persuade men. If you're trying to persuade somebody something, I wonder if you really even got it yourself. You couldn't persuade yourself. He revealed this gospel to you. You preach the word of God, and he will give a revelation of truth. And he said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, it is not after man. And we need to take that to heart, because many things, many places are being preached, but it's not by revelation of truth. And if it's not truth, it's a lie. I neither received it of man. Man didn't give it to me. So how is man going to try to persuade me? He may defile you, but he can't persuade you. I don't want to be persuaded. I know who I believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which he has committed unto him. He said, I didn't receive it of a man, neither was I taught it, but it was by revelation of Jesus Christ. And remember, revelation means the unveiling. The veil has been removed. For you have heard of my conversation, his manner of life, and time past in the Jews' religion. You've heard of it. He said, beyond measure, I persecuted. I didn't love the church. I persecuted them. I didn't make them feel welcome. I persecuted them because I was better than they were. And I wasted it. I profited in that Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Remember, it's traditions. Traditions. We're talking about revelation. But when it pleased God, and we will end here, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, Israel, he called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem or to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia. I went to Arabia, right back where the law was given, because he had to understand now. You see what you've been given out? I want you to see how it brought men under bondage. It didn't set man free. It made them think they had to please this one and please that one. And where is God in this thing? It's Christ in you that came. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he tells you, he said, I returned unto Damascus. But God had to work it in his heart first. He revealed himself to him. He revealed Christ in him. Now that man has a message. He's got a message to preach. This is going to give hope to people. The love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost. If we want to really have anything, we need to realize it's only by God's grace. It's by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Now you can go in Hebrews yourself and look in there and say, oh, I can kind of see that now. Because it says, by faith they did this, by faith they did that. Through faith, Sarah conceived. Because by grace through faith, it is a gift of God. You go through the fire, you do it by God's grace. Let's all stand.